This is interview with Pratim Ghoshal, conducted by Pankhudi Zaheer.
I think this is good. Just introduce yourself briefly. Where are you from, and since when have you been in JNU?
Okay, so I am in my PhD second semester. I've been around in JNU from 2013 when I came here to do my MA. Before that, I was in Calcutta. In JNU, I'm associated with Democratic Students Federation. I'm presently the secretary of the organization.
Tell me a little bit about your family. Who all are at home?
I have an elder brother and my parents.
So we'll be talking about the boycott attendance movement that has been going on, and I think it won't be even fair to say that it is finished fully. And along with that, just touch upon the Atul Jhawari movement also, and also a little bit about the pro-reservation movement that happened on campus. So that's the last that I'll be talking about. You give me these details. So to what extent do you think you and your organization was involved? Were you guys there from the beginning?
Yeah, because in the last JNU Students Union elections, DSF was part of the alliance which was given the mandate to run the JNU SU.
Yeah.
So that has allowed us to be an important part in terms of running the union. So
when you say part of JNU SU, do you have a member who is in JNU SU?
So Subhanshu Singh is the joint secretary from DSF.
Yeah.
And we have two counselors, Swati and Sarthak.
Right.
We also have a GS Cash representative. The elections that took place last semester, Swati Simha. So the boycott attendance actually, it all started, and our involvement was naturally more hands-on because of the responsibility that the union has in taking up this particular issue. So that's how we were also heavily involved. And so from the standpoint of the organization, what we tried to bring right from the beginning was to ensure that it's not something that is the first. The issue was such that it had to be not just opposed as a administrative fiat, which is undemocratic and was not passed through proper channels like the AC, and it was not discussed, so on and so forth. But the challenge also was to have a ideological and a more kind of a rationale as to why we oppose it. More intellectual argument against why we don't need the kind of attendance system that was being imposed. Which we thought would not have been possible for just organizations taking position. There was a need for this to be far more decentralized. Because only then would a pedagogic kind of an opposition to this be made possible.
What was the trigger event? Like, what happened?
So the trigger was actually, so on the 1st of December, there was an academic council meeting where this idea was in passing floated by the vice chancellor. It was not passed, nothing was discussed, but such is the manner in which the administrative functioning happens nowadays that whatever the vice chancellor deems fit to be passed, he just passes it. So this came to our notice on the 22nd of December, sometime around then, when the campus was closed. So at that point of time, it came to our notice that something like an attendance system, a compulsory attendance system having its own paraphernalia of 75% for MPhil, PhD, for MA, BA, so on and so forth, that was floated by the administration through a circular. That circular, I think, came on the 27th of December. So that was the immediate trigger.
Right.
And so the immediate response to that one was because there has been so many ways in which political activities have been curbed, especially in terms of public show of protests or 100 meter and so on and so forth. It became difficult for us to therefore see what exactly we can do which would ensure the largest possible student participation, and B, which would therefore pressurize the admin. So there was a committee that was formed to look into the matter, the attendance issue, which was packed with the admin's men. And so what we thought is that we will have a signature campaign. So between the 27th and I think the 4th of January, there was a signature campaign. So there were around 2,000 signatures that were collected.
So who ran this?
This was run by the JNU Students Union itself. Yeah.
Before this, like you mentioned, the way the vice chancellor does things in the academic council. Do you think these things have happened before in campus? Like, has the administration been doing things like this? No, not before this vice chancellor.
Yeah. I mean, so that is
before this issue.
Yeah, I mean, so with this vice chancellor, there has been an administrative, a new style of administrative functioning, which basically mirrors similar kinds of ways in which the government also functions, the government of the day. So there is a deep disregard for any institutional processes. There is a deep disregard for any differing opinions. There is an agenda which is very strongly out there that you can feel and you can see, which is being implemented, of course, in a gradual manner, but in a very, which would have a deep impact on the way the university functions.
Yeah.
So right from, let's say, implementing the UGC Gazette, to, let's say, removal of GS cash, to, let's say, the way in which attendance was passed. There was apparently an email that circulated amongst the EC members who said, yeah, it's fine. You know, so it was a complete violation of all kinds of procedures as well as all kinds of conventions which help the university function in a more democratic manner. All of that was flouted.
What were the main demands of this particular movement, and did they change over time? What things added to it?
So initially, I mean, of course, the larger message was that we don't accept compulsory attendance. But within that also, there were demands that were being articulated different, because so the most successful part of the movement till now has been the fact that within the first week or so, students took it upon themselves to ensure that this is resisted. But that process was further concretized through, let's say, formal SFC meetings with the union, consulting not just merely the council, which frankly for a student body of 8,000, it's not enough to get all views of the university. But in the process, what happened is you realize that there were different kinds of ways in which this policy was going to affect different students. So the modes of articulation also changed accordingly. So an MPhil PhD student in the social sciences was articulating a different reason as to why that person was not in favor of compulsory attendance. A student who was studying the languages in an undergraduate course in SL was articulating a different demand. Someone from the science schools was saying that, so things like, you know, in some centers attendance is already there, so how would you oppose, you know, a new system, and why should you oppose it? So these kinds of things were actually thrashed out over a period of time. But in terms of concrete demand, the demand was two. One, that of course compulsory attendance be rejected in toto, but also that the admin is pulled back into following administrative protocols and conventions and the institutional rules and regulations laid down by the JNU Act. So we demanded that you call for a academic council. Let us have a discussion. But so that was till about February. It went on like that.
Just explain JNU Act like briefly.
So JNU Act is what governs the university. The JNU Act was passed in the parliament in 1966. So the JNU Act actually lays down the contours of the way in which the administration will function. Apart from other things as to what is the purpose of the university, so on and so forth. What are the aims and objectives with which JNU was formed. But it also is the legal boundary within which the administration has to work. So it basically puts out what are the powers of the vice chancellor, what is the role of the academic council, what are the conventions that are to be followed. So that is what the JNU Act is.
So you're saying the university administration was flouting these?
Yeah, and it has continuously done so. It's not like it's been put to a hold.